Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I saw the back and the fin of the shark up out of water. And, you know, at that point it hit me that it was happening. But at the same time, I felt like none of it was real. The shark almost looked too much like a shark.
That's J.J. Myers, the son of the man who was attacked on Cape Cod this week by what biologists believe was a great white shark. Marine scientists say the growing number of great white sightings off the Massachusetts coast in recent years isn't due to a rise in the shark population, but to more sharks being drawn to one of their favorite foods, seals. And as Dr. John Mandelman, a research scientist at the New England Aquarium, explained to us, these changes in ocean wildlife can be traced back to the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972, which outlawed the hunting of seals.
And with that came a population increase. So we're seeing a lot more seals. And as a result, certain sharks that prefer that type of food as a meal have become more abundant in nearshore waters. Doesn't mean that there's more of them in the ocean. It just means that they've seemed to have found something they like to eat. They're coming in a lot closer to shore.
Should we be rethinking that seal protection law? And as controversial as it may be, is there an argument for selectively culling seals to try to reduce their population so they won't attract as many sharks? I'm basically wondering if by protecting seals as much as we do, we've thrown nature out of balance.
It's possible. I don't think there's enough evidence to support that or refute it. There's certainly an argument to be made for keeping the seal population in check, but not just for the fact that there are sharks around, but also because seals take other commercially important fish that are important to the commercial fishing industry and can be actually fairly aggressive towards people when they're, you know, in close proximity. So there are certainly people that think that greater number of seals being removed is a good thing.
I think it's worth noting that sharks aren't typically believed to be specifically gunning for people, and that when they do bite us unprovoked, it's usually assumed to be a case of mistaken identity, basically.
Right.
Would you explain that shark confusion and why we aren't their food of choice?
Just to keep it narrow, I'll specify with the white shark. You know, their preferred meal are usually a very sort of fatty animal, seals and sea lions and other closely related species. When white sharks become adults, they tend to prefer those types of meals. And humans, to be blunt, as has been thrown around in the popular media, are just too bony for them. So very often what happens in these attacks is they occur in murky water where the sharks can't see all that well at the point of interaction, and they take a bite, realize it's not their food source or their preferred food, and then vacate the premises. And usually when people die from shark attack, it's due to blood loss and potentially drowning from not being able to get back to the beach.
On Morning Edition today, we heard that the state has a shark surveillance program, including a detection system that picks up signals from 9 great whites tagged in the area. So when a signal is picked up, what happens then? I mean, do lifeguards get notified if that shark is considered too close to a beach where people are swimming?
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of distinguish the fact that these sensor-type systems and the tracking that's going on with these sharks is not happening in real time. But they are periodically checking these receivers that they have out here. And then when they get those receivers, there's information on those receivers that can, you know, correspond with tags that they've deployed in the past. So they know, in general, sort of from a broader perspective, how many sharks are in the region around this time.
But this is not a way to alert people that a shark is right around the corner, basically.
Not unless they were able to check their receiver, upload the information, the data very, very rapidly, and, you know, then they might have some evidence that within the last hours or a day that the animal was in the vicinity, but it's not like they're getting pinged, you know, when there's a shark hitting their receiver.
I want to play a piece of tape from the man who was bitten in Truro on Monday, Chris Myers. Here he is talking to Good Morning America.
I might try swimming a little closer to shore. It'll certainly take some gentle effort to get back in the water, but I hope one day, our odds are still pretty good, but maybe people need to be a little more careful than I was.
So what practical advice could you offer about swimming safety when it comes to avoiding sharks?
I mean, I think that people need to abide by their own comfort levels and listen to the authorities at that particular beach and understand that there are animals out there. And certainly staying closer into shore where you can quickly have access to the beach and get out of the water is probably a wise move for your own sort of feelings of safety and comfort. The big one for me has always been staying far away from seal colonies, or if there are seals around, it's probably not a good idea to be in the water. And I usually throw out that, you know, seals are also very aggressive, so you may have just as high a likelihood of getting bothered by the seal as you would a shark in the area.
Dr. John Mandelman is a research scientist at the New England Aquarium. John, thank you.
My pleasure, Sasha.